Hey, Google, what is the chief end of man?
Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever.
Yeah, I'm on a mission like a couple spies, and that, guys, is the reason why I catechize.
Welcome to the Reform Standard. I'm Tony. Let's get started. Question 75 of the Westminster Larger Catechism reads, what is sanctification? And the answer is, sanctification is a work of God's grace, whereby they whom God hath before the foundation of the world chosen to be holy are in time, through the powerful operation of his Spirit, applying the death and resurrection of Christ unto them, renewed in the whole man after the image of God, having the seeds of repentance unto life and all other saving graces put into their hearts, and those graces so stirred up, increased, and strengthened, as that they more and more die unto sin and rise unto newness of life. This question is a significant turning point in the Westminster Larger Catechism here, because as we've gone through this sort of little section here in the Ordo Salutis, this is now turning from basically from what happens and what's going on prior to being a Christian to now what is happening after justification and adoption makes a person a born again, regenerated Christian. And so here we see the distinction that I've made reference to a couple times between an act of God and a work of God. And so we see that sanctification is a work of God's grace. And what that means here in this question is that sanctification, although there is a starting point and a definitive reality that that is sanctification, there's this progressive unfolding of God's works in a person's life and an increase in these saving graces that are given to us in our sanctification. And so the first part here is to comment that along with all the other elements of salvation, that this is applied to those who God has chosen to be holy. So this is not something that now we pick up. We don't have justification and adoption being something that God does, and then sanctification is something that we do. But these sanctification is rooted in God's foreordination and election in eternity past, just as much as justification and adoption are. But here, what we see is that this this application of God's grace is done in time through a powerful operation of his Spirit. And it's done by the application of the death and resurrection of Christ unto them. So we see, and we'll see this as we get to the end of the section here, but we see that there's these two elements of sanctification. There's these two components of sanctification. And the first is theologically called mortification. And so this is the reality of death and the sinful nature being stamped out or snuffed out over time. And so it's not the case that our sinful nature is entirely removed in sanctification. We don't become holy, sinless, pure, spotless people in terms of the actual reality of our constitution. But then there's also the application of the resurrection of Christ unto us, which is called vivification in theological terms. And so at the same time that God is killing our sin nature, that he's destroying and removing our sin nature from us in this powerful application of God's grace by his Spirit in time, he's also making us alive unto Christ by applying the resurrection to us. And so the combination of these two things is that we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God. And so there is this definitive, at a moment in time, renewal where our entire person is affected by the beginning of sanctification. It's not as though there is some corner of our constitution that is not affected by sanctification. But this sanctification, this application of God's Spirit to us, the grace of God in applying the death and resurrection of Christ, is applied progressively to us throughout the remainder of our life as Christians. And so here there's a couple specific things that are applied to us. And this is really, really important, because in my mind, in my view, this settles all of the debates about whether the Presbyterian Westminster position is that repentance precedes justification, which is the lordship controversy. The lordship position is that repentance is a component of faith, and so thus it precedes justification. Here, repentance, and not even repentance, but the seeds of repentance, the very beginning of repentance, is granted to us, is put in our hearts in sanctification. And so in order to say that repentance comes prior to justification in the Ordo Salutis, we would have to be able to say that a person is logically being made holy and being sanctified before they logically are freed from the penalty of the law and made a part of God's family, which just doesn't work in terms of how we conceptualize and think about it. And it's not necessarily the case that every time the Westminster Confession or the Westminster Catechisms place something in the Ordo Salutis prior to something else, just in the order of the questions or the order of the chapters. It's not necessarily the case that represents the logical order of salvation, but in most cases, that's a pretty good indicator. And so here we have sanctification with the beginning of repentance being a part of that here after both justification and adoption. And so here it's another one of those catch-all phrases, that it's not just the seeds of repentance unto life, but all other saving graces as well are put into our hearts. And so these graces are put into our hearts, and then in addition to granting us these graces, they're stirred up and increased and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And the end result is that in an increasing fashion, we live out our life in a state of mortification, of dying unto sin, and then of vivification, rising unto new life, as the Holy Spirit powerfully applies both the death and the resurrection of Christ unto us.
You know, if you want, you could know this. The catechism, hey, the catechism, hey. Do you know what the chief and the man is? And how the Father, Son, and Spirit do manage? Do you know, if you want, you could know this.
West Side.